The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, it's good to be back. President's Day, does that mean, it's a federal holiday, does that mean nobody gets any federal income taxes taken out of their pay today if you're working? Does that mean there's no vaccine mandates? Does that mean on down the row you go talking about the intrusion, the federal government on President's Day, since it's a federal holiday? I wish they would turn President's Day into President's Month, and in fact, maybe President's Quarter, and just shut the whole stinking thing down. You know, one or two or three quarters a year would be fine by me. Anyway, it's good to be back, and thank you for to Chris Connell for filling in for me on Friday, talking about My Faith Votes, which is an incredibly important organization, as well as a important value to take your people. We used to say this, remember, that hey, vote your values, and I'd always be like, no, stop, hold the presses, don't vote your values, vote biblical values, because our values can be pretty messed up. So don't vote your values, vote biblical values. So when you say My Faith Votes, amen to that, if your faith is based on the Word of God. Anyway, it's good to be back. A long weekend, an emotional weekend. A good weekend. My mother passed away on January 27th, so we had a little service for her in Chattanooga, Tennessee on Saturday. And myself and my three siblings and some of the other family members were there, and so you do that. And then you're going through your parents' stuff. I say parents. My father passed away a little over 3 years ago, and my mother a little less than a month ago. Yeah, but she had a lot of stuff. It was a talk about the ability to pack. I mean, she had two households. I think she had about two households of stuff in one house. That's how she was such an incredible packer and organizer. And that was just part of her lifestyle, very organized, a deliberate woman. So I wanted to share before I get into it. And then the second segment after the break, we'll talk about President's Day. I've got some things to share from former presidents, but I would be interested to see who your favorite president is. Doesn't have to be in your lifetime. Could be all the way back to the first president, President Lincoln, and during the Civil War and the Emancipation Proclamation, or back to George Washington, number one, out of all the presidents. You can do that, but I don't want you to share your favorite president based on what their administration accomplished. However, I want you to share your favorite president based on them as an individual, as a president, as the quote-unquote leader of the free world. So that's personality and approach. Toughness in certain cases, or compassion in other cases. Who would that be? While I think President Trump's presidency and his administration accomplished an amazing amount of things in his 4 years, I definitely wouldn't call him one of my favorite presidents. I'm asking you to separate it. So the presidency, the man, versus the accomplishments of the presidency. Just who is your favorite president from that perspective? Okay, not what they accomplished in their administration, but just as a president, playing that rather important role here in America. 866-348-7884. So who is it and why? And we'll reminisce about our presidents here for most of the show today. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. But let me back up. This is something I wrote several days after my mother passed, and then put it on Facebook and then shared it Saturday. Because, you know, most of us have complicated lives. Right? We have complicated family history. None of us is Jesus Christ. Therefore, we all have sin and a lot of it. And so we work through that, right? When a loved one dies, or a mother or a father, whatever, and then you kind of work through those things over years. And that's certainly the case in my family's case, and in my parents' case, and in both of them. And in this particular case, certainly true for my mother. So there's what's the point in airing dirty laundry or talking about negatives here and there? We need to learn from those things. We certainly want to learn from them for our own walk with the Lord and our own sanctification. But how do you go down that road? Because you don't want to give the impression that's untrue, that everything was like walking through the rose garden, right? But that's not true of anybody's family, is it? So here's what I wrote, and see if this might ring true for you. Someone recently told me, it was my wife actually, you aren't really an adult until both your parents are gone. JFK Jr. actually said that. Now I get the point. My mother at 90 slipped into the presence of her savior early Thursday morning, the 27th of January. After 4 miserable weeks stuck in bed, her body no longer able to obey her iron will, she is very much like Margaret Thatcher that way, she breathed her last and then instantly experienced the greatest moment of her existence. I can only imagine, as the famous song goes. In that moment, I'm guessing she fell to her knees in amazement and adoration. Her faith, though mostly quiet and very private, that generation had a very private faith, had become a physical reality. On top of that, can you imagine the contrast between being fully known, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and being fully loved? Just think about that for a second. Fully known, all your garbage, and the things that you weren't even necessarily aware of, you're aware. Because that all just adds more glory to God, the fact that you're in his presence despite all of that because of the gospel. Wow. And I'm sure that was true for my mother. Fully known and fully loved. She left a legacy of tenacity and hard work, of commitment and service, of creativity and dedication to family. She and my father lived in 8+ states, traveled the world, raised 4 strong and able children, and left a wide swath of social gatherings, parties, and friendships across the nation. They were also the greatest dance partners I've ever seen. You know, the greatest generation. They learned how to dance together as a couple. Big band dancing. It was amazing to watch. It was like poetry. When you look at the picture of my parents dancing, you can see the sheer joy in their faces. Dancing was there for them as a couple from the very beginning. Not today's impersonal look at me style, but the flowing, deeply intimate and coordinated style of Dave's Gone By. It was something to behold. And for me, that picture encapsulates the parents that I am separated from for a brief moment in time. It does not deny the hard days or the personal sin in their lives, but shows the blessings of joy that can be had because of the grace of a loving Creator. Picturing my parents gliding across a dance floor doesn't deny the hard times I remember, and it doesn't deny the pain that we all caused one another. For me, it's a beautiful reminder of God's grace and the transforming power of the gospel. How, despite the ugliness around us and certainly within us, joy is still possible. My mother is now experiencing perfect peace with her maker and herself. She has come face to face with the reality she could only barely imagine but resolutely counted on. And the music is playing, and she is dancing once again with her man. Like I said to her the night before she passed, I won't say goodbye, mother. I'll only say, see you soon. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. I might add a couple more things to that on the other side of the break, and then we'll start talking about our presidents and our presidential history. We'll be right back. Wow, what an amazing thought that is. Worthy is the Lamb. He's saying, here's the cry of every lonely heart. Worthy is the Lamb. Chris Tomlin talking about that. Rich is really from a heavenly perspective. We're talking about, going to move into talking about presidents today. Today is President's Day, a federal holiday established by Congress in 1885. Started as a celebration of actually George Washington's birthday. That was first recognized only as a holiday in Washington, D.C., but was later expanded to the rest of the country. The first president was born in Virginia on February 22nd, 1732. Now, why is it always on a Monday? Because Congress, as they like to do, passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. The bill went into effect a year and a half later. It was proposed in 68, went in 67. They passed it in 71, I guess. Recognized various holidays to be observed on Mondays, right? So what Monday holidays do we have? Memorial Day, Labor Day, Columbus Day, right? And Veterans Day and President's Day, a Monday holiday. So who's been your favorite president? Again, I would ask you, don't focus on what their administration accomplished. I just mean as an individual, as a man, as a leader, who is your favorite president? Past, present, future, whatever the case may be. Well, I guess it can't be future. I'm a little tired today. All the way back to George Washington, if you want to. Who's your favorite president and why? And again, not talking about what they accomplished, but who they were, their role as the quote-unquote leader of the free world, as the president of the United States. Who would it be for you? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884. or 866-34-TRUTH here on President's Day. Let's go to Trey. He's calling in from North Carolina. Trey, thanks for holding. Sorry to keep you on there for so long. Go right ahead.
Oh, no problem, Steve. I hope you're doing well.
I'm doing fine.
I would say Ronald Reagan for my era. You know, I'm, what, mid-40s, so some people probably got me beat, but I would say by far the presidents in my generation, so to speak, would be Ronald Reagan. And I would say that based on the confidence that he showed. I do remember there was some wars and stuff that were going on or some touches of that in that presidency. Of course, I was young at the time, but
yeah.
I do remember feeling the confidence with that man. You know, that man in office, and of course, you know, ultimately it's Jesus Christ. I can't wait till he comes and rules and reigns.
Yeah.
And really, I'm going to tell you, we need that now more than ever.
Man.
But you know, I do remember feeling a confidence in him. Like, you know, when he said something, I just felt like it was going to get done. I have not felt that way with any other president. Trump has done some good things, but Trump by far has done some major terrible things as well. I just feel like that, you know, overall in my generation, I would say Ronald Reagan by far.
Yeah, such a great point. Trey, thanks for calling in and sharing, man. I appreciate it. And that confidence thing, right? 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Who's been your favorite president? And again, based on who they were, how they acted as an individual, leadership, charisma, character, versus what their administration accomplished. And that's such an interesting way of looking at it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, because a big aspect of the president's role is being presidential or how they handled the job. And like Trey said, that was a fascinating thing about Reagan. I'm a lot older than Trey, I'm 56. So Ronald Reagan is when I really started to kind of pay attention. I was in high school for his first 4 years and then college. And that confidence thing and hopefulness. He had a hope and a love for the nation, especially on the heels of Jimmy Carter, where you're like, the country's a train wreck. But when Ronald Reagan spoke, because he knew what he was doing that way as a communicator because he had been an actor, but he loved the country. He was hopeful. He was upbeat. He had an easy smile. He was a really good communicator and funny and likable, but he had a confidence about him. So like Trey said, when Ronald Reagan said, this is what we're going to do, this is what's going to happen, I'd be like, yeah, I believe that. It was really an amazing thing to see. 866-348-7884, who's been your favorite president? Not necessarily in your lifetime. Like Trey, you could go all the way back to Washington if you'd like. But again, the president as an individual, not so much what they accomplished through their administration. Because the administration and accomplishments is more than just the president. I'm talking about the president as a leader being, quote unquote, presidential. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Julia, who's calling in from North Carolina. Julia, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Hey, Steve. My favorite president, I don't know a whole lot about the old president, you know, what their faith was, their positions on a lot of things, and not that I'm wanting to be political with the current situation, but Donald Trump is my favorite president, and the reason is one of the very first things he did when he took office is he signed into law that any veteran that was not getting the health care that they needed from the VA to go anywhere they needed to go, and they would pay for it. And at the time, my son was a wounded, still is a wounded warrior, and we had been through literal hell and back trying to get him the help he needed.
Man.
And the VA system, what they wanted to do was just fill these guys, these Afghan veterans and Iraqi and, you know, Vietnam veterans full of pills and hope they die so they don't have to be bothered with them anymore. And because of him signing that and his heart for our men and women who have served in this nation, my son is alive today.
Mm.
And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt he would not be alive if Donald Trump had not done that. And he had such a heart and compassion for the men and women who served this country. This has helped Vietnam-era veterans that have struggled for decades. And the list goes on and on of people that I know whose lives have been changed and impacted by that. And it was just so good to see somebody that actually recognized these men and women for their service, and they put their life on the line, and they were just used as just fodder. You know, it was just you know, once a Marine, always a Marine. It was just propaganda, and the same thing with the Army. So for that, I will
yeah.
love that man.
That's awesome.
Forever, because it was deeply personal to me and yeah. to so many people.
Oh, man, that's the power of your testimony, Julia. It is deeply personal, and he did something that affected you and your family and your son personally. That's why it's such a great perspective on it. Thank you to you and your family for your service to the country with your son, and thank him as well. God bless you, Julia. Thanks for sharing that.
You too. Thanks, Steve.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. 866-348. Man, that's cutting off loud. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Your favorite president and why? Again, I would ask you to set aside what their administration accomplished and then talk about the president, the man himself. And that was a great point from Julia, and that's super powerful because that affected her and her family and her son, especially personally. And when he came in, and I believe there were a lot of things about Trump that I didn't like. I questioned how deep did his commitment to these stated issues go? Like, he had never taken a position on the life issue. He was kind of pro-choice before he became the president. Then he became a great pro-life president. And I think his heart and his mind probably changed on that issue because he started to surround himself with people that could talk to him about it and educate him about it. But I was always, I was always asking the question, how deep does this run? But I didn't really ask that question with veterans. I think it was pretty obvious that he really valued the veterans. I don't think it was a big issue in his life beforehand, but once he got into politics and he became the president of the United States, chief of which you're the commander in chief, and all of a sudden, the weight of 230 plus years of U.S. history falls on your shoulders as the commander in chief. And I believe that was totally heartfelt when he got in and did what he did with the VA. Thank God for it. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. President's Day. Perhaps you have the day off. And if you do, good. I mean, my federal holiday, you should probably ask that if you're working today, you don't have any federal taxes withheld. Good luck with that. Anyway, it is President's Day. Talking about presidents. Who's been your favorite president or presidents? They could be one that served during your lifetime, or it could be somebody from the past. It could be Lincoln. It could go all the way back to the first president, Washington. And for what reason? Again, I'm asking your favorite president as a leader, as an individual, not their administration. So separating out the accomplishments or failures of the administration versus the president as an individual, as a leader. That's my question for you today. Who's been your favorite president or presidents in U.S. history? And you could go as recent as Trump if you want. You can go back as far as Washington if you'd like. 866-348-7884 is the number. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. And a lot of people chiming in on Facebook Live today. And Ronald Reagan and Donald Trump, Lisa said, for me, because they cared about America and their wives were gorgeous. That's for sure. Kathy, Harry Truman, the man we consider to be the last two statesmen, the last statesman, especially in the Democratic Party, Harry Truman. Yep, he certainly, and his reputation improved over time, which happens with all these guys. Danny Reagan, because he was a true statesman, intelligent, articulate, and worked both sides of the aisle the way it was meant to work. That's right. That's the way it was supposed to be. Compromise is one of the five conditions needed for a democracy to work, or a representative republic like ours. And I would agree with that. But what's your choice? 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH, your favorite president as we look back. On President's Day, this is an interesting article from Fox News. President's Day shows how time can change legacies. Just look at Washington and Lincoln. Americans generally hold this truth to be self-evident. George Washington and Abraham Lincoln were presidents who earned their places on monuments and on currency through exemplary leadership that united the country. That reverence is celebrated every year on President's Day, but that reverence seems kind of quaint now, doesn't it? A phenomenon relegated to larger-than-life figures from a distant past when powdered wigs or stovepipe hats were in vogue. A closer look at history, however, shows that no president has managed to leave the position without alienating a large segment of the populace. Partisan bickering has been an American tradition since the flag had 13 stars, well before 140-character tweets. History suggests that with time and perspective, one or more recent presidents could find themselves, if not carved on Mount Rushmore, then at least mentioned in the same breath as those immortalized in granite. And political biases aside, historians caution that it is difficult to gauge which presidents will go down in history as greats because the true impacts of many of their policies and decisions aren't clear until later. Quote, historical legacy usually improves over time, but it takes time and space, unquote. From this article, Washington is an example of how all the monument making can sand down the less favorable or controversial issues. Like he was a plantation owner and he owned slaves, right? That's just a reality. Considered by many historians and layfolk to be the most influential figure in American history, Washington's reputation was buttressed by his role leading the Continental Army to victory over the British during the Revolutionary War. Over time, Lincoln, for example, has become as heralded as Washington, at least in the parts of the country, on the winning side of the Civil War. Ah, yeah, that. That's probably why Lincoln's February 12th birthday never became a national holiday, though many celebrated it as part of President's Day after the passage of the Uniform Monday Holiday Act in 1971. In the South, there's considerable reservation about Lincoln, this one historian said. While many associate him primarily with the emancipation of slaves, there's a neo-Confederate element that views Lincoln as a tyrant who suppressed states' rights, I could make that case, introduced the income tax, and suspended habeas corpus. That's right, he could have you arrested and hold you, up to 1,000 days, by the way, without charging you. That's a suspension of habeas corpus. Presidents who are assassinated tend to be romanticized with an added mystique. John F. Kennedy is widely admired by Democrats and Republicans nowadays on rankings of the greatest presidents. Kennedy usually right up there at the top, even though his presidency is rather short in length and accomplishment. Steering a country through a major war or crisis is also a selective legacy booster, which explains the popularity of FDR, despite his role in the internment of Japanese Americans at the time. Roosevelt presided over the U.S. during World War II, of course. Modern presidents, however, may have a tougher path to that level of popularity than their predecessors, and it comes back to those tweets. Now, don't get all triggered there when he says that, okay? It's just a reality. The advent of social media and blogging make it less likely that a consensus could be reached. In an era in which we depended on the Huntley-Brinkley Report at Time Magazine to tell us what's going on, we didn't believe that every opinion is equal. In order to have that popular consensus, we have to rebuild trust in media and historical thinking generally. If we're told constantly that what we read is fake news, how do we agree on what's real? And that's a huge problem today, which is another reason why the country's so divided, plus historical ignorance and political ignorance, which, by the way, is why I teach those things. I now teach U.S. history. I've been teaching civics for 10 years. I teach Christian ethics. And we're getting ready this week, by the way, I'll talk about it more, to launch Noble U, which is taking these classes online. So whether you can attend them in person or not becomes irrelevant, because I want to be able to teach high school age homeschoolers these subjects all across the country. So we're launching that this week, nobleuschool.com. That'll be up and running. In the next couple of days, I'll tell you when. But in the meantime, let's go back to our phones. Calling in from North Carolina. Thanks so much for calling in. I didn't quite catch your first name on the screen here, so go ahead.
Ann.
Oh, that Ann. Hi, Ann.
Herself in person.
How you doing, Ann?
Pesky girl. How are you?
Oh, good, thanks.
I'm loving this discussion. I saw a special last night on TV about Washington and Lincoln, and it just had me in tears, you know, with such noble leaders years ago. And you know, the guy talking of Reagan, I said, yahoo, yes, absolutely. I just adored Reagan. But the previous, our so-called president now, I was shocked when I heard that Trump was first running, you know, many moons ago, and I knew so little about him. And then, he, you know, of course, everybody's saying what a sinner he is. Excuse me, I am also a sinner saved by grace. It just amazes me how condemning people are about somebody. And he got better and better the longer he was president. He just got better and better. But I decided, okay, let me find out about this guy. Let me see a little bit more about, you know, what if he has anything that's honorable and so on. So I listened to past interviews of his where he was a kinder, gentler, where he didn't have to be so defensive, you know, as he had to be because of the terrible treatment he received and the horrible, you know, phony accusations and so on. But he listened to past interviews. I was so impressed with him because he kept saying, someone has got to help this country. And you could see this really sincere, gentler side where he was so distressed over the state of the United States. And, you know, again, but also just personally, I sent him my book and CDs, and he sent me a very sweet thank you note, just a short one from him and Melania. And I was so, you know, totally taken back.
Sure.
I thought, wow, very, very touching, you know, but he cared. He cared for this country, doggone it. And I became such a fan, and I missed him so much. You know, he was, I believe he was given by God, because, and he was prayed over by people and wanted to be. And he was given wisdom in so many ways. You know, it's like that song in Man of La Mancha.
Yeah.
I like him. I really like him. You know, I mean, I'm an apologist for living anymore for saying that I like Trump, but I don't. I love him. I just
What would you say was his number one quality as a president that you liked, Anne?
Just, frankly, I saw a lot of wisdom that God was giving him, and his receptivity truly to being prayed over. There was a, you know, people talked about his arrogance or whatever, but he had a humility about him, ironically, I thought, where he was so willing to be, I mean, publicly prayed over by groups of people. And I do believe God gave him the wisdom that he needed to be such an incredible and, well, we won't go into the fact of what I think about the election, and I'm sorry, I did think it was, you know, off.
Sure.
I think that they cheated, and I will, but I also feel, in a sense, that God has had to reveal, he had to bring Biden up from the basement to show what was, you know, what the man was all about,
well,
and
we
now
can,
they see.
Yeah, well, we always know God's at work, and in that I can I can rest easy and sleep at night. Anne, thanks so much for calling. Great to hear your voice, as always. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you, Steve, so much for all you do. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's jump to Thomas, who's calling in from Virginia. Thomas, thanks for calling. Go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Noble, thank you so much for your radio program. I'm a first-time listener.
Awesome.
I'm a citizen of Danville, Virginia. I'm driving through, presently, Winston-Salem, and I just pulled over to be safe. And to have this brief conversation, I'm honored to be able to have a few moments of your time. And thank you on President's Day. How appropriate to ask my favorite president. My favorite is President Donald Trump. And the person who just spoke was far more articulate than I could ever be. But I just would like to just ditto what she has said. And I noticed I'm 64 years of age, and in just seeing how men of our highest office in the land seem to emotionally respond to tragedies.
Really interesting point. Hey, Thomas, I'm up against a break. Can I put you on hold?
Sure.
Is that all right? I'm going to put you on hold because I really want to hear what you have to say on the other side of the break. Hold on there, Thomas. I'm going to put you on hold. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today on President's Day as we look back over the history of this nation and all of the presidents that we've had the fortune or misfortune to be impacted by, and things that presidents did 200 years ago still matter today as it shaped the nation, all the way back to George Washington, the first president. So the question for all of us today, just curious to see what you think, is who are your favorite presidents? And again, I would separate what happened during their administration, successes or failures, from the actual man as a leader, as a president, the quote-unquote leader of the free world, the titular head of the United States of America. Constitutionally, that's not true, but we kind of treat it like it is. And so they can have a huge impact. So my question simply is, who's been your favorite president or presidents over the history of the nation? And why, as we consider that and should look back on that. And we can use things from the past to measure people in the present and help us to make decisions about who would serve as president in the future. But Thomas is driving through from Virginia, listening on the Truth Radio Network in Winston-Salem. Thomas, thanks for taking the time to call and for listening. And you were right in the middle of it, and I had to interrupt you for a commercial break. The clock always wins. But was really interested for you to continue to explain why Donald Trump was one of your favorites.
Yes, sir. And that is fine for you to take a commercial break. This is the first time I've ever caught you on radio. But even though I'm a first-time listener, I'm going to be a continued listener.
Amen.
Most likely in Virginia, I will have to find you on the web, and I will. You're giving such stimulating thought and conversation.
Great.
And at the same time, it's not only enjoyable, you're teaching me. And I appreciate the teaching quality of your work on the radio. I would say the most in my small estimation, the most valued and significant presidency would have to be President Lincoln, simply because of the Emancipation Proclamation, of which
yeah.
he paid dearly for. He was, you know, he had to eventually sacrifice his life for that.
Mm-hmm.
But most of my emotional involvement for president has been, once I voted for him, my emotional quality for them, a degree for them, has been static. Even when I voted for President Ronald Reagan, oh, such a prince of a man, a genteel politician, a man of great charisma and charm, yet my emotional involvement for him and support for him stayed the same, and he's one of the all-time greats. Other presidents, and I'm an American first, a Republican second, and so most of the men I voted for had been Republicans. Only one was a Democrat, and that was at an earlier time when I didn't fully understand politics as well as I do now, and I understand it poorly even now. But some of the men of whom I voted, I've been disappointed. However, with Donald Trump, he is the only one whom my joy quotient after voting for him just began to go through the roof because I had serious doubts about him. But once he won the election, everything he did, and yes, he is just a man, and all the presidents are, we need to be somewhat gracious, I would think, and somewhat tolerant. He needed grace and tolerance.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yet, I'll tell you, everything he did, such as a Christian who appreciates that our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian ethics, to me, now, I haven't seen any actual documentation on this, so here's, I'm thinking, he may be the only president to ever visit the Wailing Wall. And I think that is significant.
Yes.
He not only went to Jerusalem, he went to a very sensitive area, and he did so displaying respect for all nations.
Yeah.
And so I also saw in him the way that he responded, as all presidents do, to national catastrophes and even some personal tragedies of our war heroes.
Yeah.
He just seemed to have more of a heart. And it's not just that he showed more emotion, because he didn't. I thought he was somewhat more reserved.
Yeah,
I mean,
stoic.
Let's face it, there are moments he could have expressed his emotion
yes.
where the people agreed with him. But I felt as a true gentleman, he was in some respects more reserved than others, yet you could see and hear in his voice. I don't think there's been a president in my lifetime that I observed caring more for people. And I think for those even across the aisle, if they would have given that man a chance, he would have showed just as much care for them as anybody else.
Yeah,
and we had other presidents.
I think that's a powerful point. Yeah, you have to be able to get beyond or beneath or behind what happened in the media and the war between him and the media in general and him and the Democrats. You have to get behind that to kind of see the heart of the man, which is why I appreciate what Ann said. And she looked at interviews from him that he had given prior to being in politics. And there was definitely a kind of a kinder, gentler Donald Trump that you didn't see once the attacks started. But those are some great points. Thomas, you said in the beginning of your call that you weren't as articulate, but I thought you were fabulously articulate. So it was great to have you on. I thank God that we ran into each other today. And yeah, you just look it up online, because we Facebook Live and podcasts and all that stuff at the same time. But what a joy to have you on the show.
To hear from you, Mr. Noble. I will definitely be looking you up on the web, Mr. Noble. Thank
you,
sir, for all that you're doing.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. Be careful.
Bye-bye, sir.
All right, see ya. What a great call, and so many great points that he made. I'm like, not articulate. He's very articulate. And so there's so many things there. And again, I appreciate the call to grace and mercy. And, you know, he was out sin. Let them cast the first stone, right? We spend way too much time. That's why what Jesus was talking about, before you remove the speck of dust from your brother's eye, you might want to pull the plank out of your own, which is just a reminder. I often say this about myself. Far too often, I have a PhD in your sin and only a GED in my own. Yet, these are men that have been lifted up to arguably the highest office in the world, and they have to play at a higher level. Yeah, we're all sinners that have the chance of being saved by grace, but when you're going to elect somebody and elevate them to that level, then character and background and experience matters. Yeah, we approach their sin and their sin nature with grace, absolutely, knowing that that's the deal with all of us. But not all of us are put in a position of being the president, and that's where you have to kind of rise above all that. They have to be better than the average person in terms of their qualifications, and that's certainly true, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else. This was a cool article. I've got a lot of different things here. President's Day, great advice from great U.S. presidents for modern day America. Really looking at just a couple of things. I thought this was good. George Washington said this: if freedom of speech is taken away, then dumb and silent, we may be led like sheep to the slaughter. Huh. That sounds familiar, especially in the last 2 years, does it not? A primary object should be the education of our youth. This is George Washington. In the science of government. This is exactly why I teach civics. In a republic, what species of knowledge can be equally important? And what duty more pressing than communicating it to those who are to be the future guardians of the liberties of the country? Exactly. Again, like I said, I've been teaching civics to high school age homeschoolers here in the Raleigh area for 10 years. And now U.S. history as well as Christian ethics, which is why we're starting Noble U. We're launching the website this week. So we're going to take civics and U.S. history online so I can teach more and more kids. They don't have to be able to come to a certain location at a certain time. You can just take it online. And they're going to get the lectures that I just taught, by the way. We're not canning stuff from years ago. George Washington also said, associate yourself with men of good quality if you esteem your own reputation, for 'tis better to be alone than in bad company. That's a great one. Abraham Lincoln. Here he is again. So, education. Upon the subject of education, not presuming to dictate any plans or system respecting it, I can only say I view it as the most important subject which we as a people can be engaged in. Yeah, because if we're fools, you get run over, right? This won't be the United States of America anymore. The ballot is stronger than the bullet, he said. It's ironic, isn't it? He said this at Edwardsville, September 11th, 1858. Our reliance is in the love of liberty which God has planted in our bosoms. Our defense is in the preservation of the spirit which prizes liberty as the heritage of all men in all lands everywhere. And that's why Lincoln himself struggled. Did you know that at the beginning of the Civil War, Lincoln didn't take a public position where he wanted to free the slaves in the South? He understood the Southern states' concern of a federal overreach. What should the federal government be telling the states how to operate their business, how to run their state? So he was a states' rights guy, but he thought eventually slavery would die out. The free territories are coming on board. They're becoming states. But for the South, every time you get a free state added, if they go free state, well, then that's going to affect you in the House of Representatives and in the Senate. And sooner or later, the North has control of Congress and the South is just going to get pushed around. But Lincoln didn't come to the Emancipation Proclamation thoughts about it. He was pragmatic. He was political before he was principled. Then his heart for ending slavery came about. It was a good move politically. Hey, we're going to free, tell 3 million slaves in the South that they're free all of a sudden. You didn't have any way to enforce that at the time. But once they find out, maybe they'll join our side. So you can find, I can punch holes in any presidential boat that's out to sea in the history of the country. So we have to be able to learn and be objective and analyze the reality, not emotionalize it. We need to analyze it. And for us that call ourselves Christians, that would be obviously through a biblical worldview. Here's a Monday morning prayer from Washington. I'll finish with this. In 1891, a manuscript of some of his favorite prayers written in his own hand was sold at auction. Here's one of them, a Monday morning prayer. O eternal and everlasting God, I presume to present myself this morning before thy divine majesty, beseeching thee to accept of my humble and hearty thanks that it hath pleased thy great goodness to keep and preserve me the night past from all the dangers poor mortals are subject to. Direct my thoughts, words, and work, wash away my sins in the immaculate blood of the Lamb, and purge my heart by the Holy Spirit from the dross of my natural corruption, that I may with more freedom of mind and liberty of will serve thee, the everlasting God, in righteousness and holiness this day and all the days of my life. Wow! Huh. That's probably a prayer we should all be praying every day. And it's nice to know George Washington did that. Beseeching the Almighty, because he knew that's why he had his position in the first place. Understanding his sin, understanding the salvation, the forgiveness that was only bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. I wish all of our presidents were like that. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
another program powered by the Truth Network.